Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 27, as we continue our study. Study is about drawing nearer to God, having a deeper relationship with God by a deeper knowledge of God. And as I said this morning, if we're going to grow, if we're going to go deeper in our relationship with God, we're going to have to know God better. All right? So tonight, we continue along that same line of thought. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, John chapter 4, verse 27, kind of picking up from where we left off this morning. Verse 27 says, "And at this point, His disciples came, and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said to Him, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking to her?' The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to Him. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But He said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought Him anything to eat?' And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors.'" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, Lord, through your word tonight, that we may know you better, that, Lord, we may have a burning desire to draw nearer and deepen our relationship with you. Father, it is good to be your child. And we thank you for all the blessings that you provide. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What caught my eye in this passage this week was when Jesus said, "I have food to eat which you do not know about." I've got to be truthful. Confessions of a pastor tonight. I love food. I like to eat. And you can tell, you know, this physique is not a dieting physique. It's a I love to eat physique, right? I've often heard people say that you should not live to eat, but rather eat to live. I lean toward the living to eat, right? When we go on a vacation and you ask me, "Where did y'all go? What did you do?" The first thing I'm going to tell you is where we ate. You know, that's just the way it is. I've never experienced this, but I'm told and my understanding is that if I do not eat for an extended period of time, I'll begin to lose weight. Like I say, I haven't experienced this firsthand, right? It's just what I understand. If I were to continue to not eat, I would become weak and eventually I would die from malnutrition. The reason for that is because it's a physical necessity to eat. But you know what? In this text, in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at tonight, I want to point out to you that there is a spiritual food also, not just a physical food. Something that satisfies the very soul of the believer. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, "I have food that you do not know about." And He explains it. He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work. Now, I want to start out tonight by pointing out two things, right? First thing that Jesus said in that text was, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we're told that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. The idea with what Jesus is saying is there is a spiritual feeding, even a spiritual satisfaction that you can only get by serving the Lord. No other way. You'll only get this by faithfully executing the office to which you've been called. And everybody here has a calling. We're all very different. We all have our own specific calling. But don't think, well, you know, God really doesn't call. Oh, yes, He has. He has you here for a reason. I watched these ladies sing tonight. And you could see it. I started saying their face, but I couldn't see their face from where I was sitting. But you could tell by their actions that they enjoyed spiritually what they were doing. I see it continually in my wife, Beth. I don't think there's a person around that loves music any more than Beth. She loves to sing. She loves to play. And you know, when she does, I see it on her face. That there's something that it satisfies her very soul. Same is true for me. Not music, but preaching and teaching. Fulfilling my call. On Sunday night when I get home, after having preached on Sunday morning and Sunday evening service, I'm tired. And I can't, you say, oh, Brother Doug, that's not a big deal. Give her a shot sometime. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. I get home, I'm tired, but I want to tell you something. There is something on the inside of me that has been fed from answering God's call that I cannot get any other way. Yeah, I sat down, I'm tired, but I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for the day. Why? Because, very simply, I'm doing what God has called me to do. And it's not just me. You know, we have teachers in the church who faithfully teach week after week. And I've heard some teachers say, you know, I get more out of teaching my class than my students get from my teaching. That's what they're talking about. I see the children's teachers. And I'll tell you, you know, not to call names, but I'm going to call names. This morning when Evan was baptized, Miss Judy was so full of joy, she couldn't hardly stand it. And you know, I kind of feel like I know what Jesus meant when He says, I sent you to reap for where you have not labored. Others have labored and you've entered into their labors. I had the joy of baptizing that young man. But there's been teachers that have taught him through the years that have brought him to that point. What am I saying? I'm saying there's a joy, a spiritual feeding that you will only receive by answering God's call. And it's really sad because there's a great discontentment in churches today because people want to be served rather than to serve. And they're missing the blessing. God has called you to a ministry. And if you spend your church life as a consumer, you will never be spiritually filled. You'll never know the spiritual satisfaction of being faithful to that which God has called you. And that's what that's in this process of drawing or entering into a deeper relationship with Jesus. You know, I want everyone in our church family to know that joy. Because there is a spiritual satisfaction that you're not going to get anywhere else. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. He said, my food is to finish the work to which my Father has called me to. It's interesting, that word finish. You know what that means? It means to accomplish or complete. And you and I might say, see it through to completion. You know what I've discovered about serving? It's usually not very easy to serve. Oh, there are good days, you know, that you just... But there are also some days that are a struggle. But I want to tell you, it's worth it. Jesus said, my food is to finish or see my ministry through to completion. And for Jesus, it wasn't just to deal with this Samaritan lady that we studied about this morning. It wasn't just to train his disciples. For Jesus, his ministry required that he would go to the cross of Calvary and be crucified. Now that's tough. But anything short of his death, his burial, and his resurrection would have left his ministry incomplete. Jesus said, my food is to finish the work which my Father has called me to. And because that was his food, that was his desire, today he's seated at the right hand of the Father, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, we too shall live. But see, the problem is it's too easy to quit. It's way too easy to quit. I understand day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, sometimes it's hard to be faithful to the very end. But before you quit, you've got to answer one question. Are you ready? Here's the question. Have I completed the ministry that God has given to me? Have I finished it? Have I seen it through to the very end? Because if you've not, you'll not know the joy of finishing the work that God has called you to. I love Paul's quote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul said, I fought a good fight. You ever wonder why he said, I fought a good fight? Because it's a fight. It's hard sometimes. Paul said, I fought a good fight, but I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who love His appearing. That's where we want to be. When it's all said and done and the smoke is cleared, we want to hear from our Heavenly Father, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we'll only get there by being faithful to the end. Here's the challenge. What do you do from here? You've got to see the food. Do you ever go to a catfish buffet? As I said, I like food. I'm going to get a little more specific here. I love good fried catfish. And there's a place in where I grew up called Dondi's, White River Princess. And you go there and they've got the best fish. Every time I walk up to that buffet, I say, yes, sir, I'm about to have fun. And I, you know, and when I see that buffet, it stirs a zeal in me. A zeal to eat. That's what Jesus is trying to do to His disciples. Stir up their zeal. When He says, you say there's 4 months till the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. You see, we always think about that as gathering a harvest. But what is a harvest? A harvest is food, right? He's saying there's spiritual food to be had right here and right now. I challenge you, open your eyes to the opportunity that the Father has set before us. It's too easy to go through life with blinders on. I've heard people for years that, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." Well, if you're in that category, let me help you with that tonight, okay? Number one. First, you pray that God will reveal to you what your gift is. Okay? And I guarantee you, if you pray, "God, reveal to me my gift so that I can use that gift for your glory," you're not going to pray that prayer very long before God makes it plain to you. As a matter of fact, if you've been saved for a while, there's not very many people here that's going to have to pray that prayer tonight. You know what your gift is. For some, it may be a gift of teaching. But not everybody is a teacher. For some, it may be a gift of encouragement. Some people are just a joy to be around. Have you noticed that? It's a gift. It's a gift. Started to say some people are not that much of a joy to be around, you know? That's not a gift. That's an attitude we might need to correct. But anyway, maybe it's giving. Maybe your gift is giving and you can bless the different ministries in this church as well as outside this church. And maybe you have a special gift to serve on a committee, a building committee, because you're a building guy and you want to participate in taking care of the facilities here at Victory. Maybe you're one that loves to work with kids. Awana ministry. I mean, there are kids ministries all over the place at Victory, right? But pray, "God, open my eyes to see the gift that you've given me." And then the second thing you do is you cultivate that gift. You exercise that gift, because the more you exercise the gift that God has given you, the stronger that gift will become. You know, I'll be honest with you, most people are not that good at exercising their gift when they first start. I always love to hear preachers preach their first message. And there are some who do better than others. But a preacher preaching his first message is not going to be an Adrian Rogers. Right? I've heard people listen to new preachers and say, "Boy, I just don't think he'll ever make a preacher." I don't know how you make a preacher, but that's what they say. But I want to tell you something, I'll disagree. And the reason I disagree is I've seen men who knew they were called to preach, who just barely could complete a sentence, yet because they exercised that gift and they studied countless hours and every time they had the opportunity, they preached, then one day, guess what? The light came on. And God did something inside that individual, and you're thinking, "I never heard him preach like this." It's all because he exercised that gift. See, this series is about growing in a deeper relationship with Jesus and knowing Jesus in ways we've never known him before. For that to happen, I guarantee you, you will not grow if you do not push yourself. Won't happen. You've got to be willing to step out there. Be uncomfortable. Maybe even do things you've never done before. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Victory is filled with gifted people. God-gifted people. I also know that Victory is filled with opportunity, that the fields are wide and to harvest. But the requirement of us is to open our eyes. That when he says, "Lift up your eyes," it says, just take notice. Look closely. Oh, it's so easy to come to church and sing and pray and listen to the message and not worry about it anymore. My challenge to you this week is open your eyes. Pray, Lord, what's my gift? Lord, how can I apply it? Lord, give me the opportunity. Open my eyes that I can see. You see, Jesus, when He's telling them this, He's telling them this for a reason. What He's talking about is the woman that we studied about this morning. The woman at the well, she's left her water pot at the well, and now she's gone into town, and she tells everybody in town, come see a man who told me everything that I've ever done in my life. And guess what they did? Oh, they come out in multitudes. And so Jesus sees these Samaritans come, and guess what He says? He says, lift up your eyes. For the fields are white in harvest. He's pointing at Samaritans. Had to be running through these disciples' minds. Whoa, don't you know these are Samaritans? Nobody wants to minister to a Samaritan. Oftentimes we don't see things because we don't want to see things. And we think, that's not what I want to do. You know what I've discovered? I have discovered that it's not about what I want to do. That my joy, my food, is when I answer God's call and do what He's called me to do. Okay? No. It's not always easy. No, sometimes it's discouraging. But I want to tell you what. I have never seen someone at this point in my life who was faithful to the very end who said, I regret what I did for Jesus. Now, I've seen a multitude of people say, oh, I wished I'd have done more for Jesus. Oh, I wished I'd have been more faithful. I wished I'd attended church more. I wished I'd set a better example. But I've not found the first person say, man, I regret serving the Lord. That should tell you something. Challenge. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white to harvest. There's opportunities all around you. And I'm not just talking about opportunities of offices within this church, of teaching and serving on committees. I'm talking day-to-day opportunities. Look at the people you work with. Look at your family. Look at your children. Look at your grandchildren. You know, one of my great desires right now, and my grandkids are very young, but one of my great desires is I want to be a pops so that my grandkids see me and want the Jesus that I have. You know? And so I try to remember that when I'm around them, that they see a pops who loves them, a pops who's not afraid to say the name Jesus, and to let them know that serving the Lord is worth it. Lift up your eyes. Look where God has placed you. See the opportunity. That's the challenge this week. Now, you may be here, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you, there is an opportunity in front of you this evening. That opportunity is to be saved. You say, saved from what, preacher? Saved from eternity in hell. Right? There is a heaven and there is a hell. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. Okay? And the choice is yours. You know, you say, Brother Doug, I don't believe God sent anybody to hell. God never sent not one person to hell. People choose to go to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He completed His ministry. He died for your sins so that you could have eternal life. And now tonight, He's brought you here to give you the opportunity to be saved. How do you do that? Very simply, by calling upon Jesus in prayer. You call upon Him, asking Him to save you, knowing He is the Son of God who died for your sins and rose from the grave. And we have the authority of the Word of God. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you need to be saved, would you come during this invitation? Maybe you're here tonight and you've been a little downhearted, a little discouraged lately. Let me just remind you, it's going to be okay. Hang in there. We win when it's all said and done. Okay? Is it worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't give up. Don't quit. You keep exercising your gift. God, you do your part, and God, I promise you, will do His part. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would invite you to come in this invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, it has truly been a privilege to be in your house tonight and this morning. Father, we rejoice in knowing that you have not only saved us, but you have called us to ministry. We rejoice in knowing that the fields are white in the harvest. There's opportunity all around us. Father, take the blinders off so that we may see, so that we may lift up our eyes and have a zeal for this harvest. Lord, we do love you. Now we pray that in this invitation, your will be done. To you we give all honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.